Lashana Tova Tiki Tevu. May you be inscribed for a good year. And welcome to the Shofar Ministries program. This is Dan with my lovely wife and Bible teacher, Reverend Sheila Crawford.
Well, thank you, honey. And Shalom Aleichem to all our listeners, which means peace be upon you. As we look forward to the new year, just a few weeks away, which could really be a new year if you follow Yeshua, let us pray.
Abba, Father, we thank you, we praise you, and give you all our honor. Guide us by your Holy Spirit even more so in these last days as your word enlightens our path. We continue to lift up to you all our loved ones that need salvation. Please keep pulling on the strings of their hearts, doing whatever it takes for their eyes to be unveiled while there is yet time. We speak your healing power on any listener tonight suffering from any infirmity, for you are the healer, and our only hope is in you alone. We pray for your divine protection over Israel's soldiers as they increase their ground troops in Gaza City. May tonight's study glorify and bless you. We ask in Yeshua's name, amen.
Oh, amen.
Well, we have a quick announcement.
Yes, we do. I want to tell you about Officer Gil Regev from Israel's Defense Force and also an Israeli tour guide, that is, until he was called back to fight in the Gaza War. He has some interesting information on the happenings in Israel, and he's coming to our Cleveland area the first week of November. And has a couple days still available if you think your church would like him to speak and answer your questions. Just call our office and we will have his associate get in touch with you. There is a video on YouTube from when he was speaking here before. Just search his name. That's Gil, G-I-L, Regev, R-E-G-E-V.
Yeah, a lot going on in the news.
You think? Mm-hmm. And to start Teshuva off with a bang, hurricane season has begun with a Category 5 hurricane, Aaron, and that's in the Atlantic. Thankfully, not directly hitting the coast, but causing much rain, flooding, very high waves and rip currents between our eastern coast and Bermuda, with more coming.
And Israel is starting to move into Gaza City.
The last stronghold that Hamas actually reoccupied after it was pushed out last year. Keep that situation in your prayers, that hostages, now in day 683, can be rescued and the fatalities to Israeli troops are minimal. However, an Arab news report states that Hamas is considering moving the remaining Israeli hostages to Gaza City to use them as human shields, as well as they said they would now like a ceasefire, but their conditions are ridiculous.
Yeah, more like an Israeli surrender.
Yes.
But good things can also happen on Teshuvah.
Yes, during Teshuvah sometimes their enemies have been judged, as we pray for Israel's victory, as well as an end, of course, to that Russian war.
Well, you know, it looks promising.
It does. Putin has finally said that Ukraine legitimately deserves its security, but wants the land on Ukraine's eastern border with Russia.
Yeah, they already have Crimea in the southeastern end.
They do, thanks to Obama in 2014, but now they want the Donbas area, just north of Crimea.
Yeah, it's very rich in earth minerals.
Right. But at yesterday's meeting, we, the United States, along with a few European countries, are guaranteeing Ukraine's security. And you know, as we said on this program when this war began, that this area has been in a civil war since 2014 between Russian separatists who lived there and were begging Putin to help them fight against the Ukrainian government, who wanted them to leave their homes and cross over into Russia.
Yeah, Ukraine was once part of the Soviet Union.
Right, so some Russians are still living there.
And the Russians have kidnapped about 20,000, mostly older children.
Yes, but has supposedly kept them safe and healthy in camps, all the while indoctrinating them to see Russia's side with thoughts they might be able to be used in battle at some point, because both sides have lost tens of thousands of soldiers. So the question is, will President Zelensky be willing to finally give up this territory that they have rigorously fought for? And if you recall, we made an agreement with Ukraine ourselves on a rare earth deal last April.
Yes, we did.
So this war is important to Christians as well, because we want to hear those famous words of Paul saying, we now have peace and security. And this would make seven wars that President Trump helped to end.
And in 7 months.
Pretty good, I'd say. Israel is the last one for Trump to declare peace and security, as stated in 1 Thessalonians 5, verse 3. And then we are out of here.
Only 5 weeks left before Rosh Hashanah.
And the way things are speedily happening, it's a good possibility.
And you have some new insights as to why we could be leaving this year.
I do. And it will be in the newsletter going out this week, so you won't have to take notes. But it is a little icing on our cake.
It is very sweet indeed.
And we'll do that after you let the listeners know how they can reach us.
Well, that was a good tease.
I know.
All right. You can send your end time questions by email to Sheila at shofarministries.net or call the office and leave your detailed message to 440-834-9006 or by regular mail to Post Office Box 513, Burton, Ohio 44021. Your love offerings are needed and greatly appreciated, which automatically adds you to our newsletter mailing list. You can also donate on our webpage, shofarministries.net, where you can access any of our past programs, letters, and added teachings.
Okay, so we already know that Jesus, through Hosea, told us that after 2 days, 2,000 years, he would return. And I believe him.
Hosea 6:2.
But until then, of course, we will occupy and remain contented where God has chosen for us to be. But we have just a few more reasons why this year is looking even more promising, and it involves some typology.
Which is a reliable form of prophecy.
Oh, absolutely. And this time it's about Jacob, later called Israel, who at a carefully calculated age of 77 married Leah first. She's a picture of the Gentiles and today's Christians. And then Rachel, who's a picture of Israel, had to wait 7 more years, which then makes him 84. So why is this important?
We Gentile Christians are a type of Leah who will marry Jesus first.
Right. And then 7 years later, all Israel, again once was Jacob, will marry Yeshua at the end of the tribulation at the Feast of Tabernacles. But here's what's really interesting, and that is that Israel right now is 77 years old since it became a legitimate state in 1948. Therefore, will be 84 years old in 2032. So for this typology to hold true, then Jesus will be coming for his bride this year, 2025, and 7 years later for all of Israel when they are 84 years old.
You know, that is a great gold nugget.
Amen.
But you have another gem.
I do indeed. You can call it a second confirmation. Do you remember Anna who prayed in the temple night and day in Luke chapter 2, longing to see the Messiah? Did you ever wonder why Luke specifically wanted us to know that she was 84 when she finally saw Mary and Joseph bring the child to the temple for his dedication?
How often have we just skipped over that?
Even the most tiniest detail is there for a specific reason.
It truly is.
Again, Israel will be 84, counting from 1948, in 2032.
exactly 2,000 years, as he said, from his departure.
Yes. And by the way, Daniel 9 also confirmed Christ would be cut off in 32 AD when properly calculating his timetable. The last piece of the end time puzzle is that covenant to be signed between the Antichrist with many. It does not say all, rather many, to jumpstart the tribulation. Daniel 9:27 also doesn't specifically say Israel will sign it either.
So, who are the many?
Well, it appears that when the UN General Summit begins meeting in New York on September 9th through the 29th, serious discussions on a Palestinian two-state solution will begin, especially intensifying beginning on the 23rd.
Which just happens to be on Rosh Hashanah.
Mm-hmm. Just a coincidence. Mm-hmm. Isn't that interesting? And because now most nations, especially if the Christians have just left with an added day or two to absorb what just occurred, will happily sign an international proclamation on Yom Kippur, and the tribulation would begin for 7 years. And we have many reasons to know we'll end on a Yom Kippur as well, to grant atonement for all Israel.
And just more nuggets to seriously ponder.
For sure. So, now let's begin our yearly study about the next unfulfilled, in the literal sense, about Rosh Hashanah or Feast of Trumpets. Now, we say literal because spiritually all seven, plus the Sabbath, has been fulfilled at our salvation.
Right. We replayed the rapture scriptures last week to set the stage.
We did, mm-hmm. because the Feast of Trumpets begins on Monday, as we said, at sundown on September 22nd, through Wednesday the 24th on their Hebrew calendar.
On the Essene calendar, it's the week before.
Yes, but after really pondering that, I realized that Jesus followed the Hebrew calendar when he observed the feasts. As well, we know the tribulation, according to the book of Revelation, is 7 lunar years, which is why we think he will do the same this time.
Yeah, but either calendar puts Rosh Hashanah on a Tuesday, just a week earlier.
Yes. As we have previously noted, Tuesdays were the day marriages happened.
Due to the extra blessing in Genesis.
Yeah. But I will admit, the Essene calendar can be confusing, especially because they count in Onas, Jubilees, and Shemitahs. But on the other hand, is often beneficial when it comes to eschatology, where God sometimes intertwines both calendars, especially regarding the Essenes and their Jubilees, stating that the next and last Jubilee, which is coming up this year, beginning this Yom Kippur.
And Leviticus 25 confirms it starts on a Yom Kippur as well.
So this next and also last Jubilee will as well usher in the Messianic Kingdom. Actually, on both calendars. And by the way, right now we are in a Shemitah year. Again, only on the Essene calendar, which marks a time for rest and spiritual rejuvenation.
So, you know, that's fitting if the rapture is this year.
Well, I'd say so. But as far as the feasts go, we will stick to the Hebrew calendar.
Okay, let's begin by explaining why Rosh Hashanah lasts for 2 days.
Again, using the lunar Hebrew calendar, back when Jesus first walked the earth, the new moon could only be proclaimed when they saw its first sliver to usher in the next month. So just to be sure they really saw it, they made it a 2-day feast. And it was a 2-day feast when Jesus was here. Therefore, this appointment of God took on a common expression of,
no one knows the day or the hour.
I believe that Jesus knew when he said that in Matthew 24, that they would know what he specifically was referring to, especially since they already taught that the resurrection would be on a Rosh Hashanah. that's in their tractate of which we own. I've read it. But of course, only God can pinpoint the actual moment of the new moon.
And, you know, there wasn't a NASA back then.
Right. Anyhow, we know for sure that Jesus, some year soon, will literally fulfill all his appointments, just like he did in the spring with his death, burial, and resurrection. And 50 days later, sent the Holy Spirit as recorded in Acts chapter 2.
Those appointments he kept were on Passover, unleavened bread, first fruits, and Pentecost.
Which then brought us into the current church age, which lasts for 2,000 years, from the year he went back to his place in 32 A.D.
Well, you know, time's almost up.
I know. Many say Jesus, though, say that he died in 33 A.D., but that's simply because they are not familiar with first century Hebrew roots and instead follow the Catholic narrative.
Explain, please.
Well, it's because in the year 33 A.D., Nisan 14, Passover, fell on a Thursday, dying on Friday. However, and this is noteworthy, they don't know that on God's Hebrew calendar, the week Jesus died, Passover began on Wednesday at sundown, when Jesus ate the Last Supper, and then died just before sundown, still technically Passover, but on Thursday.
Ah, so not on Friday.
Right. Also, Hebraic roots teaches the lamb had to be examined for 4 days before prepared. When Jesus rode in on the donkey on Palm Sunday, he then entered the temple and was examined by the Sanhedrin and Pharisees for 4 days in fulfillment as required for the sacrificial lamb, taking us to Wednesday after sundown for the Last Supper and sacrifice with the sword the next day on Thursday at 3 o'clock. Therefore, taken down before the high holy extra Sabbath called unleavened bread began. And the scriptures in John 19 does say the next day was a high holy day. It's right there for all to see.
And so not a Saturday.
Correct.
So we can assuredly conclude he did not die on a Friday.
Absolutely not.
So 32 AD would be the correct year of his death.
And if one wants to study that in detail, Sir Robert Anderson did a thorough teaching many years ago in his book, The Coming Prince, still available. And he also explains in detail Daniel 9, 24 through 27 quite elegantly. And by the way, Jesus was raised 3 full days later, early Sunday morning.
Therefore, dying on Friday does not equal 3 full days and nights.
It does not. So we have given many reasons over the weeks that this year could be the year of the rapture on Rosh Hashanah, while keeping in mind the possibility of next Rosh Hashanah still keeping within the first year of the Jubilee before Yom Kippur. Then after the 7-year tribulation would be his second coming, 2,000 years from when he left. And we're going to cut our time a little bit short today because I really want you to hear this wonderful song. It's just touched me so much, and for quite some time since I heard it, I've been thinking to play it for you. So you might want to just maybe even get on your knees and pay attention to these words.
Sometimes I fall to my knees and pray. Come, Jesus, come. Let today be the day. Sometimes I feel like I'm gonna break, but I'm holding on to a hope that won't fade. And come, Jesus, come. We've been waiting so long for the day you return. calm. There'll be no war. There'll be no chains when Jesus comes. Let today be the day you come for the weak and the strong just the same, and all will believe in the power of his name.
Thanks for listening to this week's broadcast from Shofar Ministries, hosted by Sheila Crawford on AM 1220, The Word. If you would like to help keep this show on the air, please visit the Shofar Ministries website, shofarministries.net. That's all one word, shofarministries.net. Once you're there, click the donate button on the left side of the page, and it will take you to the PayPal secure payment site. If you don't use the internet, you can send your check or money order donation to the following address, Box 513, Burton, Ohio, 44021. That's Box 513, Burton, Ohio, 44021. For any questions or comments about this program, please send an email to Sheila at the following address, Sheila@ShofarMinistries.net. That's Sheila@ShofarMinistries.net. Please join us next Tuesday night at 8 for Shofar Ministries right here on AM 1220, The Word. The preceding program was brought to you by Shofar Ministries.